Thank you, Art. Brother Art Hibbs has prepared exhortation for us this morning, so it's my pleasure to invite him now to share that with us, Brother Art.
Good morning, everyone. What can we learn from Psalm 90? And what's Psalm 90 about? Well, first of all, it's a psalm that Moses wrote, and it appears to be the only psalm that's recorded by Moses in our Bibles. But it's essentially a prayer of God, and it's asking for guidance, and he's asking for mercy on his people Israel. And Moses knows that all the power and all the control are in God's hands. And he's also aware, though, of the love and the mercy of God. There's a comment in the notes in my Bible that may well describe at least the first portion of what we have in this psalm. And it suggests no other psalm depicts so poignantly the dismal state of man before the face of God. That said, although this is noted in the psalm, and we'll look at that in a little bit, we find that the opposite is also true in this psalm. We also find how much God can help us when we decide to turn to him and to listen to his word. So again, what is it that we can learn out of Psalm 90? We find the first 11 verses of Psalm 90 that Moses describes two basic things, is the way I see it. The first of these is the immense power of God. And it's what he experienced. And he says in verse 2, before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And conversely, number two, the poor state of man's best efforts to serve God in verse 3. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. And Moses continues in verses 5 to 7, you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but in the evening, it's dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. What a statement to make, terrified by your indignation. But if we look at the last verse, Moses seeks God's favor in verse 17. And he says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses knew far better than any other of the Israelites, both the immense mercy of God and his loving kindness of the only true and living God. And he concludes this psalm with the words that he believed in his heart. God heard Moses. He listened to Moses. What do you think might be one of the biggest lessons from this psalm? Could it be for each one of us personally to put our trust in God's loving kindness and in his mercy? Isn't this where we have to go? To things like, as we are told, faith, hope, and love. And to believe that God really does hear us and that God can do absolutely anything despite our failures. So I find this psalm is one that reaches out to every single person who is trying to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, who is trying to please Almighty God. When God chose Moses, he didn't pick a somewhat average person. This was a very, very faithful man, a man that God chose to lead God's people out of Egypt. And this is the man that did just that. This is the man whose job it was to teach the Israelites who the only true God is and what that should look like in each person's life. And really, the same is true for us today, isn't it? Who is it we predominantly choose right now in 2021? Is it God or is it self? And where do we go with that? Because serving God, it affects our decisions. It affects our allegiance, our trust, and our love. And in short, it basically affects everything that we do and everything that we say. So it's not something small. This is a major thing that we look at and we say, what are we trying to do with this in our life? So again, who was it? Who was this Moses? Pardon me. Who was Moses? He was God's choice. Someone we also need to listen to. It seems to me that what makes this psalm so poignant is the simplicity in the clarity of the message that we find in the words of Moses. And I would suggest that all of us need to take his words personally. This wasn't just to Israel, although that was the primary reason for it. It comes down to everyone who would choose to serve God. How did Moses start in Psalm 90? Well, he starts with the fact that it's not just about us. The first three words of Psalm 90, what were they? Moses says, Lord, you have. That's NIV, but Lord, you. It's what God does. It's not what we do. It's what God does. And that stands out. And that's how he starts. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. It has to start here. It's interesting because we find a similar characteristic in David. In Psalm 61, the first three verses, we find David using essentially the same approach when he prays. He says, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Moses was facing some very difficult times. And so did David in his life, as we know. And what did David ask for? David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower. It's the same understanding of Moses, isn't it? And so many other faithful men and women throughout Scripture. And in seeking God, this is where we need to go to, isn't it? Where nothing is impossible should God will. Moses grew to learn more and more of the God he served during this period of time in the wilderness. And we are actually told this in Exodus 33, verse 11, and how God spoke to him. It says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That's a very special relationship. That isn't said of just anybody in Scripture, is it? So as Moses comes before God in Psalm 90, what does he say? He says essentially, you, God, you're the one with the complete power. You are merciful. You are the loving God. And it's what Peter also said some years later. Peter said, the Lord is what? He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward. And aren't we thankful that he is? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So one thing is clear, and that is that the Almighty God has a purpose with us, with people, or people such as us. And really, what more could we ask for? And the everlasting God, well, he's not controlled by any measure, whereas time is extremely important to us because we're mortal. And time is life to us right now, isn't it? And both Moses and David, they put their trust firmly in God, even in seemingly impossible situations. And they stuck with God. Why did they do that? Because God was real to them. And I guess we all need to talk to ourselves and say, how real is God to me and to us? How did Moses state God's perspective as he understood it? Well, in Psalm 90, verse 4, he says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day gone by, or like a watch in the night. Well, why is that? Because God's eternal, and because God's always there. God has no restrictions, not even time. And we have difficulty getting our mind around that because we are constrained by time. We know that our time is limited. Every single one of us knows that time has a definite end for all of us should the Lord not return within our lifetime. We understand that, and the older we get, it seems, the more we understand it. So we all have what? We all have a very, very limited amount of time in which to choose either the way of God or the way of me. And Moses continues in Psalm 90, verses 7 and 8, and he says this. He says, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before us, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. And I guess one of the questions here is this real? Yes, it is very real, isn't it? Because we all sin, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we know that the wages of sin is death. We believe that. We see it. We have witness to that. And that everything we think, everything that we say, and everything that we do is known by our Heavenly Father. So, therefore, as we come before the Lord today, we would acknowledge that, yes, we are all sinners. Moses continues in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10, with what we would call a reality check. And it says, verse 9, all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are what? The best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, just poof, and that's it. And Moses isn't finished yet. He continues in verse 11. He says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. If only I knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. And it is here that Moses chooses to take a direction that every one of us really do need to take. Essentially, he prays for an answer to our continuing problem. He says in Psalm 90 verse 12, Moses pleads with God. And what does he say? He says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What's he asking? Isn't he asking God to help us to grow up? Every single one of us, regardless of how old we are, we all have to grow up because we all make mistakes before God. We need to do that now, and now has to be what we're aiming at. Well, each one of us has this very limited amount of time that we've been given, however that length is. I want to pause here for a moment and just go back to something else that happens in the time of Moses. And it's in Exodus 14, and it's where Moses and all the people are looking out at the Red Sea. And behind them, what did they have? They had the army of the Egyptians. And you remember the situation. And Moses is amazingly faithful and trusts God. Moses commits his words and his actions and his heart to God at this particular time when it was needed. Moses tried to live God's way, regardless of the seemingly impossible situation that he was facing in this particular place, where all the people were in great fear as they saw the Egyptians coming from behind them. And he looked at the barrier of the Red Sea in front of them. And the thing is, this isn't just a story that we tell our children in Sunday school. This was real. It was very real. And because the people did not have the faith that Moses had, their reaction was also very real too. It was very natural. Something that we have to try to overcome ourselves beyond the things that we know. And I think we can all understand this kind of emotion. In Exodus 14, verses 11 and 12, they said to Moses, first of all, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? What have you, Moses, what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here in the desert. Ouch. Did Moses then turn around in anger and lecture them about their faithless attitudes? Is that what he did? Is that what Moses did? What was Moses' reply to them? First of all, what do you think you would have said to them if you were in Moses' shoes? What would I have said to them? Well, Exodus 14:13, Moses answered the people, four words initially. Do not be afraid. Moses answered with faith first and with consideration for the people. Moses tells them what to do. He said, stand firm and you will see. What will they see? You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring upon you today. And Moses wasn't telling them to believe in things they could see, but to believe in the power of God that they couldn't see. And Moses said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. Talk about faith under pressure. To the people, this must have most certainly have seemed to be a life and death situation. And in their case, they thought they were going to die. For Moses, well, this is who he was. And who was Moses? He was a man with eyes of faith. A man who looked beyond the vast army that was chasing them. It was very much real. Moses looked to the Almighty God with the understanding that Peter was to record later on in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, where Peter says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And if God cares about us, there's always a path to take. God really can work in our lives for good today in 2021. And if we don't learn to cast all our cares upon the Lord, then we're trying to do the impossible, because without God, what happens? When it comes to our lives, we will fail without God, without question. And because sin and weakness will always be a challenge to every one of us in this life, the only way that you and the only way that I can grow up in Christ is to turn truthfully to the God we seek, who has merciful loving kindness and forgiveness. Our prayer to the only true and living God, therefore, is what? It's asking for mercy. It's asking for love and for help and forgiveness and help in trying to follow the way of Jesus Christ more closely. And to better serve the only true and living God now, while it is today, while we have this opportunity. We also need to pray for the fortitude to keep trying, because that's difficult too sometimes, particularly on some days. How? Well, the Bible says, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. I would guess that each of us would admit that it is so very, very easy to say it, but so much, much harder to carry through with it. Which brings us to the importance of each other. How many times have we been bolstered by either a brother or a sister who perhaps by something they said, or perhaps by something they did, without realizing that we have noticed it, shown us a better way that has bolstered us in our faith? Something that causes us to think more about the way of the Lord because it's been exampled before us. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether we're male or female. What do we do before God? A quiet example can often be something that more strongly has influence on us than words. We aren't here just for ourselves, are we? We're here for each other. The God we serve, he has no weakness. His power, it has no boundaries. God knows everything about every single one of us. And this Psalm 90 of Moses is one place that points us to the things that we should be thinking about daily. When Jesus asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus didn't hesitate to respond. He says in Matthew 22:37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." But he didn't put a period there. He kept going. He said, in clarification, he says, "With all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Is there anything left? I don't think so. Jesus continues in Matthew 22, verse 39, "And the second is like it," he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Another really difficult thing to do. And back in Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments, always." Can we possibly understand any of these words? Are they hard to understand? Well, they're certainly easy to say. I don't think they're that hard to understand either. So what's another question that we each address ourselves with? And maybe it's something like this. Can we restart today as we remember what was done that we might have life? Can we practice now putting God first? Yes, if we choose to. It's certainly clear that if we miss putting God first, what else do we miss? Possibly everything. Because there is no second place. There is no third place consolation prizes. There's no changing God's mind by plea bargaining. We have to want to serve the Lord Almighty, and we need to do that by following his son's example. Moses did not just happen along and on a whim decide to do what God told him. No, Moses chose to do what God told him. Even when it was clear that his own life was potentially in danger. And I think to myself, would I do that? Would you do that? The correct answer is likely the same for all of us. We really don't know. We don't know until we're put in that kind of a situation. And then will our faith in and our love for God, will they stand up? Sometimes, perhaps yes, they do. Other times, perhaps no. But we know this, brothers and sisters, that it will always be a challenge for every single one of us, every day of our lives. And none of us get it right all the time, do we? Perhaps this is the way that Moses was thinking in our reading today, when he appeals to God in Psalm 90, verse 12, and says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom that we may make wise choices more often. Moses' prayer was not just for himself, though. It was for everyone who calls upon God. And it is, isn't this also a personal plea that each one of us need to take and need to make? To teach me, to teach my days, to number my days aright, that I may gain a heart of wisdom. It has to be personal, or else it's no good. Because without God's love and without God's help to teach us and without his forgiveness, we are all total failures. We certainly can't earn eternal life by accumulating points, can we? Moses was living his life for who? He was living his life for God. And who else? For God's people. And back in Psalm 90, verses 13 to 15, Moses continues to seek God's grace and his forgiveness and his help. And in verse 13, he says, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Verse 14, Moses specifically asks God, O satisfy us with what? O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. He knew what he was saying, didn't he? Verses 16 and 15 and 16, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory to their children. What is Moses saying? Isn't he asking for a continuance to pass it on through the generations also? And finally, this is how Moses concludes his prayer to God with what we have as Psalm 90, verse 17. NIV. May the favor of our Lord, our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us.